Welcome to your booster shot from the AWB Education Network. This podcast series is our opportunity to dive even deeper into the topics and skills that will help you lead your school with confidence. Check out information on our partners along with additional resources and services at www.awbeducation.org. Now, here is your booster shot.
All right, welcome back to another edition of Your Booster Shot by AWB Education. And today, I am excited to have the esteemed Chris Norton on our show as our guest. Chris was a former student and athlete of mine many, many years ago and is just one reminder, again, of how old I'm getting every day. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. But I'm excited to have Chris join us today and talk about his amazing story and his mission. And I have to admit, Chris, that I brag to others about knowing you. And it's fantastic to have you on this podcast. I'm really honored. For our listeners, can you briefly share your story? And for those that don't know it or haven't seen your movie, just so that we have a better understanding of your why.
Yeah, well, thanks for the introduction. I gotta say, I brag to people that I know you. So, you know, it goes both ways.
That's good.
Yeah.
Not sure I've earned that, but okay, I'll take it.
Yeah. No, it's good to see you. Yeah, I'll take you back to really, I think, the pivotal moment of my life came on October 16th of 2010. Mm-hmm. 18-year-old freshman playing at Luther College. Yeah, I went to Bonnerant Farrar, where you were coaching at. Yeah. And sixth game of the season, third quarter, I'm running down to make the tackle on the kickoff. I see the opening. And as you know, I loved hitting people.
Absolutely.
I was going full speed to blow this guy up and hopefully he'd fumble the ball. And, mm-hmm. you know, with football, what I really appreciated about it is the physicality that it brings. And it's kind of like you're the gladiators of modern era. And sometimes with the football pads and helmet, you feel invincible.
Absolutely.
And so I kind of a reckless abandon went in there and mistimed my tackle. You know, I've always, I think, been a clean hitter, clean player. But this time my head collided right with his legs. In an instant, I lose all feeling of movement from the neck down. Laying there, I hear the whistle blow, the pile clears off. And so when I try to push off the ground, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. I'm completely conscious. I never...
You know everything that's going on right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know okay. Everything's going on. Completely aware. And actually, it just felt like a routine tackle. It just couldn't move. Like someone mm-hmm. flipped the power off to my body. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling myself, you know, maybe it's just like a bad stinger. I had a stinger in high school where sure. part of my body went numb and I couldn't move it. But after a couple minutes, I was able to walk off the field. So that's what I'm telling myself. Like, oh, just give it some time. The trainers run out. I'm embarrassed because I don't want the game to stop for me. I want to be the tough guy, walk it off. Right. Yep. I'll be fine. You'll see me next play. Well, I couldn't do that. But they rolled me onto my back because I was face down on the ground. I made eye contact with one of these student athletic trainers. Mm-hmm. And I could see in her face, she's terrified. And that was kind of my first, there's other signs, but that was like kind of the big one of like, oh, maybe this isn't like a routine stinger. And then they asked me questions like, hey, Chris, you feel us touching your leg? Nothing. Chris, can you try making a fist with your hand? I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. It was also really odd was that, you know, when you close your eyes and you move your arms around, you know where your arms and legs are in space without even seeing them. Well, it was like I couldn't sense where my body was. Like I lost all those senses. Mm-hmm. Like they were erased from my body, which was even more like disassociating experience. And then they call in the paramedics. They call in for a helicopter. Mm. And that's right when I knew this is bad.
Yeah.
I closed my eyes because I wanted to almost like pretend like it wasn't happening. Like I tried to like separate myself mm-hmm. from that situation, not being scared and just praying and hoping for the best and to get in the helicopter. They fly me out Mayo Clinic and put me to sleep surgery. And I wake up and told I had a 3% chance mm-hmm. of ever moving below the neck. And that's not a 3% chance to walk, but a 3% chance to feel someone's touch, to scratch an itch on your face, to feed yourself. It's, you know, so much more than walking. And but even as devastating as the news was, I just deep down believed that this wasn't the end of my story. Mm-hmm. That there would be more. And I knew I had to fight. And so I was just like, no way, not me. Like, I'm not going to be part of the 97% who don't recover. I will do whatever it takes each and every day to be that 3%. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believed in, is I'm going to be the 3%. And so it's kind of also part of my message too, of, you know, we're all going to face these 3% moments in life where the odds are stacked against us. Mm-hmm. So how do you respond and how do you move forward in that situation? And so one of the first things I did was just really took a look at myself and took responsibility for what I still could do. You know, I lost all physical movement. I couldn't move a finger, but I could control my attitude. I can control my effort. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of focused, like, what can I do today to get better? And I just continued that process. I would eventually get some movement in my toes, like on Thanksgiving morning, which was really mm-hmm. special morning. And that just continued to snowball into more feeling, more movement. Fast forward now in the story of a few years later, I walked the graduation stage with the help of my fiance then, Emily. That went viral, got to go on all the major talk shows and news outlets, which
was awesome moment. Awesome moment. Yep.
It was a fun little media blitz.
Yep.
And a few years after that, walked her 7 yards down the Avril wedding, mm-hmm. which again, did the whole viral media circuit and mm-hmm. got turned into the movie 7 yards that was on Netflix for a while. And you can rent it on Amazon Prime or Apple TV, mm-hmm. among other places. And really I just feel like my calling is to give people hope in hopeless situations, because let's face it, we're human. Like, we're going to have moments in life where it just doesn't seem fair, and life isn't fair, and mm-hmm. we're not going to have the hope that we need to keep going. And I just believe that I can be that person to give that little nudge, that little push to keep people believing, to keep moving forward, because what seems like the end is not always the end. And I've had to learn that over and over again the hard way.
Well, Chris, your message is very strong, and it's very motivating for schools and for students to hear. But I can think back to your time in high school. Yeah, it's been a while now, but I just remember your dedication and drive and how hard you worked at everything. Looking back, what qualities from your high school self do you think have been the most crucial in your journey since this significant life change?
Well, I had this incredible coach, Coach Adam Bush, and he was the, you know, the life.
I didn't pay you for that comment either. That's even better. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, that's great.
I'd have to tell you a story. When I was about, I was probably 11 years old, and I played in a lot of basketball tournaments, and we were at this basketball tournament, and I played horrible. Like, I missed all of my shots. So I was turned the ball over, and there was just a lot more expected of me and a lot more expected of myself. And I remember in the car ride home, I'm like trying to fight back the tears. And then to make matters worse, I had to ride home with my coach, who's also my dad.
Yep.
So I'm staring out the window, avoiding the glares from the rearview mirror. We get home, I kick my shoes off, and I go straight to the couch. I'm watching TV, playing video games, just anything that can distract me from my frustration of that basketball weekend. And I'm thinking, you know, man, if I was taller, faster, mm-hmm. if my parents could make a little bit more money and I could have my own gym, mm-hmm. then, you know, I'd be this really good basketball player, right? Well, a little while later, my dad, he sat next to me on the couch. We recapped the tournament. I gave him all the reasons why mm-hmm. my shot off that day. Mm-hmm. And he listened intently. But then he told me something that just stuck with me for the rest of my life is, you know, Chris, if you don't like where you are, then do something about it. Mm. Just as simple as that. Like, if you don't like where you are, do something about it. And it clicked. It's like, why feel sorry for yourself when you're not willing to do anything to improve? Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to get better results, then you have to get better. Like, there's no shortcut in life. And it was just this epiphany of, here I am wanting to be a better basketball player while I'm sitting on the couch watching TV. Like, it just,
yeah,
it just, I don't know. It just, everything kind of clicked together. Like, this is stupid. Like, what am I thinking? Like, I grabbed my ball. I went outside and I shot hoops until dark. And it was just like this real pivotal moment of just how I would approach anything that that mattered to me from that moment on. And I think that really kind of changed, yeah, my work ethic and how I viewed life and what I wanted out of life. And I realized I had the responsibility for it. And so something that I share with students, with adults, is this idea of like radical responsibility, like not a little bit of responsibility, but a complete full responsibility for our choices, for our responses. Because the more responsibility you can take, the better you respond to adversity. Mm-hmm. And I really just believe in that. And I think that was one of the big things just early on that I had. So when my spinal cord injury happened, I was ready to take that responsibility of like, hey, like, I can change this situation. Like, I can make it better, and it's on my shoulders, and I don't have to depend on favorable odds. I don't need to depend on the right doctor or therapist. Like, I can make things happen. And so I really want people to believe that in themselves, because so often we're the victims, like, right? Like, man, like, woe is me, and if only, and this or that. And I've been there, and I still get there. I'm not saying I don't fall back to that, but then I remember that story. I remember how I've gotten out of any situation is like, this is on me. I got to take full radical responsibility.
You know, I remember that moment when I heard, where my wife and I were waiting for a table to open up at a restaurant on a Saturday night. And I got a message about the incident, of course, like you had shared, didn't know a lot of details. As I started to find out more details, I remember having the thought in my head of, obviously, this is a very unfortunate situation. It's a horrible accident. However, if there was a person that I had confidence that would be able to get through this and turn, I mean, you talk about the lemons into lemonade moment here. You can't even describe it in this moment. But I knew that you were the right person for that. And it was because of that ability to be able to demonstrate that resilience. You'd been a resilient student athlete. You've been a resilient young man at the time that I knew you, and that continues on. But resilience is hard in society today. That's really hard. It's really easy to give up, or it's really easy to blame others, or just to take a back seat when things are hard. How do you help students understand that, like you're talking about here, that resilience piece is why you're able to be successful? How do you build those skills when I'm just entering into the workforce, or I'm just going from sixth grade to seventh grade, or I'm an adult like me that's unfortunately seeing the other end of my career where retirement's coming up at some point in time? You know, how do you build that resilience so you know about growing through that adversity?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, again, it's like realizing the power of your own choices and that responsibility. But then it's, you got to experience hard moments. You kind of got to face the fire. And I think sports is a phenomenal training ground for life. And it, you know, not everybody is an athlete, which is fine. Like, but musically or with art, performance art, like whatever it is, I think finding those moments that challenge you and push you outside of your comfort zone is what you realize, like, oh, I'm capable of more. Like, I can get through this. And I think so many times in life, I think maybe kids are getting thrown a lifeline to be rescued, or they quit so fast, they don't even know what they're made of and that they can persevere. Mm-hmm. I think back I think it was like a two-a-day. It was like one of those hot two-a-day in high school football. And I made the horrible choice of, in between practices, I did like a Chinese buffet. Right. And at Hy-Vee it was.
Yep.
And we're doing like running across the football field, doing these sprints, and Well, there came my lunch. And, you know, it's just one of those things where in a football culture, like, okay, you puked, like, get some water and
get back at it.
Get back at it. Like, yeah. There was nothing to it, right? Well, I realized, like, so then I was in therapy, right? My injury happens, and it was like a month in, I'm doing this training bike. Same thing happens. I'm pushing myself. Lunch comes up, and they're like, they start taking me off the bike. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? They're like, oh, like, you're done. Like, you got sick. And I'm like, oh, like, no, I feel better now. Like, I'm good. Like, just because I threw up doesn't mean I'm incapable of, like, pushing on. But it was just like a moment where I saw the two parallels, but how in one environment, it's just like, you know, you got to keep going. Like, you can't let your teammates down. You can't let yourself down. Like, you have more to give. And football and those sports helped me realize, oh, I have more to give. Like, I have more to offer. But if you're not in that environment, and then you're in some other environment where it's like, oh, yeah, shut it down. You can't go anymore. You're going to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I think it also goes back to, you know, my parents also pushing me, like, hey, you got more to give. But all those little moments have contributed to myself being resilient. And I think with kids, it's one of those things, it's hard to, like, just teach in a 60-minute keynote. But I think as a society, if we can do a better job of challenging our kids, I have kids, I have 5 kids now. And that's something that we're constantly trying to help them. Or, you know, you want to support them and love on them, but they also got to build confidence in themselves by getting through hard things. And if as a parent, if I'm constantly rescuing them, that might build my self-esteem of being this hero savior, but I'm robbing my kids' self-esteem. Like, I'm not doing them any justice by saving them every single time.
So, Chris, you mentioned your keynote there, and I'd like to talk about that for a little bit here. So the title of that is Stronger Through Change, and that title resonates really deeply, I think, for what we're talking about here. If you were going to talk to school administrators, this is an ever-evolving industry that we're working in here. What would be that core message that you would convey to students about navigating change, especially when it's unexpected or difficult like we're talking about
here? Yeah, well, I found like when you embrace the unexpected instead of avoiding it is when you can discover a strength that you never realized you had. And I think so many times we avoid change. We run from it. We don't adapt to it. And so change breaks us instead of making us stronger. And you see story after story that society will highlight and share. And it's told in movies and books of people who dealt with change in a way that kept moving forward, where it didn't break them, but built them up. And so that's something where I talk about is just how change, because it is constant, how can we utilize that? So it's not a source of weakness, but of growth, because not everyone's going to grow through change. It's a choice. And so I share kind of like the choices that you can make so that to ensure you will grow through it.
Yeah. Now I'm assuming you've got a pretty good support system. I know your wife is a huge support to you and a lot of the work that you're doing. How important is that community and a connection for people as they're navigating change and navigating the struggles that can come along with just the world we live in right now, but especially for our young people in that school environment? How important is that support system?
Oh, it's paramount, because I can't tell you how many times when it wasn't my strength alone that got me to where I am. There's countless people who had poured into me that helped believe in myself, who believed in me more than I believed in myself, that kept me moving forward. So I think it's, I don't know, I can't even put really into words like how important that is.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm not like it's not a solo man show here. Like, it's not the Chris Norton. Like, there's so many contributors to my life. And I think one of the things I really enjoyed about the movie is it really highlights on my support system of how I was able to make it through college with my college buddies, my family and community. But then it's also part of my keynote is asking for and receiving help. Like, we can only go so far on our own. Like, we have to ask for help. And for whatever reason, it is so hard for us to just be vulnerable and be like, hey, I'm struggling. I don't know what I'm doing. Like it's just such a, people asking that feels like such an attack on their own self-identity and self-esteem that it's hard. But I have found there's not a lot I can do on my own. Like I'm very dependent on people. Like I had to learn to ask for help and to get outside my own, you know, the strong bravado man. Like I needed to lean on people. And I found when I did, how much strength there is and how much support and love I received from that. But yeah, no, community is so important. And that's one of the things I hope with my message is that people afterwards, and I get that a lot, especially for leaders, you know, with administrators, you know, with executives. I can't tell you how many times people are telling me like, man, our culture, especially on the top, it's lonely at the top. And I feel like I can't ask for help. I have to have all the solutions and all the answers, and just giving them the courage that, hey, it's okay. Like you're actually more relatable and you build trust by reaching out to others.
So I didn't have this in our show notes for today, so I'm going to throw a little improv at you here. I do also think as you're talking through this, a lot of times, and this is probably part of the issue for leaders, is we try to do so much and not realizing that even little things can make a huge difference and they always add up. I think about a few years ago, and I'm just going to give you credit for this, Chris. To this day, I am a strong believer in the fact that I have a former student of mine that is still here today because of the impact that one person made on him. And I'm just going to briefly tell a story of a young man that had a disease that happened over the summertime. And lo and behold, he went from being a healthy, vibrant student to being in a wheelchair and battling a lot of the same issues that you have battled in your time. And I remember just talking to you about that. And you're like, well, put him on. Let's talk over this. Let's hop on. I think I'm going to date this a little bit because I think that was a Skype call, if I remember right, back in the day, probably. But that moment of just one individual taking time out of their day to be able to connect with one person made a huge difference. It turned a student from struggling to know his purpose or know even what he wanted or if he wanted anything else out of life, to having a role model and having somebody that could show them the way that this can actually work and the fact that you are a very important person. Now, that's me giving you a compliment on that, but I think it also states how important the little things can be. Because what you're talking about here isn't this massive change. We're not talking about this huge initiative through a school. We're just talking about trying to develop that culture from within about what that student experience can be. Am I wrong there? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
No, that's exactly what you're hearing. It's those little moments of just reaching out of like, to know like you're not alone. I think that's one of the things too. And like, when you don't ask for help, you feel like you're isolated. You go on Instagram like, man, look at everybody's having so much fun. They got their life figured out. And I'm the only one who doesn't have it figured out. But when you can reach out and talk to like a trusted individual, you realize, well, everyone's kind of battling their own thing. We're really not that different. And the more we can have those more deeper conversations, those vulnerable conversations that I think in the day and age with social media and the internet, there's less of those opportunities to have deeper connections because people aren't having the depth of these conversations over the internet on social media, right? It's complaining about this or that or venting and attacking one another because you're behind a keyboard. But, you know, being in the same room and having those relationships, I think it's so important. But yeah, it's not just revolution. It's just like, man, I need some help. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this alone. And that goes to my speaking now that I'm doing with my foundation. Like countless things as being a parent, I'm constantly asking for help and I've been able to, I still battle it of like, man, I don't want to have to ask for help. Like, I don't want to be a burden or imposition, but that's just like the enemy. That's just not a healthy place to be. Cause I know the power of being vulnerable and asking for help.
So Chris, where can school administrators find out more about your work, your mission, get you there to be able to help provide this lesson for students and to be able to help I mean, let's be honest, you're going to be a guide with them as they move forward with that culture and that work within their schools. How do they reach out to you? How do they get a hold of you to learn more?
Yeah, go to chrisnorton.org mm-hmm. is where you can learn about my speaking, my school resources too. Mm-hmm. Through Character Counts, we developed a program. But yeah, books, movie, everything, just to go there, chrisnorton.org.
That's awesome, Chris. Well, I can't say enough about the work you're doing. Again, I'm proud of you just with everything that you have done and just been able to watch your career unfold as it has happened over the years. It's been really awesome. And this has been a huge bucket filler for me again today, just to get a chance to chat with you on as we work through that mission. So appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's great seeing you. Great talking to you. And I know this is just a great excuse to catch up.
That's right. I love it. Well, thank you again, listeners. That is your booster shot for today. We will have information about Chris's contact info within the podcast description and information. Reach out to him. He is an invaluable resource. I cannot state how important he would be in the mission of trying to provide great leadership and instruction for the students in your school. One more time again, Chris, thanks for joining us, and thank you everybody for being on your Booster Shot.
Thank you for listening to this episode of your Booster Shot from AWB Education. Want to join in this mission? We are always looking for partners to help provide what our school leaders need to thrive and survive. Contact us through our webpage at www.awbeducation.org to get connected. Otherwise, remember you are doing the job that only a few are strong enough to do. Thanks for being one of the few. We will talk with you again next time.